Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 533, titled The Argentine-Florida Connection, Another Hell of a Conspiracy Theory. This is being recorded on November 13th of the year 2005. Before we launch into the main body of the discussion, and once again I think we're looking at a series of political and commercial relationships here, that in turn are the more superficial or visible elements of an underground Reich-slash-Bormann capital and political network. Before we get into that, I want to extol in the most emphatic terms not only the Spitfire website and its related websites, the websites maintained by the heroic sister station WFMU, the websites maintained by some listeners in the Midwest who have all of the declassified government documents that prove the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and most importantly after World War II. But I want to extol a number of listeners who have basically responded to the material that I've been presenting over the years in the optimum fashion. I think it could be said that the Spitfire network of websites, so to speak, meaning the Spitfire website per se, the information on it, and the information on the related websites is, well, it's an optimum paradigm, I think, for how to respond to the program. Many listeners, or a number of listeners, I should say, have responded to the effort that I've been putting out here with the invaluable assistance of Al from Spitfire, and with the invaluable assistance of various radio stations, most notably WFMU, that have been carrying the program. They've responded by contributing in a substantive way. There's a listener who has put who is in the process of steadily turning the For the Record descriptions into a blog spot, and that is just great. Some people find the written descriptions that I put together to be very useful. Some find them kind of hard to read, but the blog spot should be much easier for people to read. There is a listener who has put together a search function that now allows people to use the Spitfire website and search the indexed For the Record programs on Google. Tip of the hat to that listener. As I mentioned, a group of listeners in the Midwest have put together a website that features all of the declassified government documents that prove the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. WFMU is not only archiving the For the Record programs on real audio and, for the most recent programs, MP3, WFMU also is podcasting the For the Record shows. There have been some people who have had some trouble accessing the audio archives put together by WFMU. A couple of points in that regard. One, if that's the case, you should contact WFMU and their general manager, because there isn't anything I can do about it other than forward the message. Also, be aware that Spitfire has usually the last four or five For the Record shows available on both real audio and MP3. So if for some reason people are having trouble with the WFMU website, contact WFMU, because there's nothing I can do about it. You might want to consider using the Spitfire website as a backup resource there for audio. And be aware that WFMU is now podcasting the For the Record show. So you can go to the top of the For the Record descriptions and click on a URL that will enable WFMU and yourself to set up the podcasting of the For the Record program. What this means, basically, is that each For the Record audio file will be sent directly to your computer so that you can listen to the file at your discretion whenever you feel like doing so. All of those things are just a tremendously gratifying thing to me. To see the listeners responding in that fashion is just, well, what can I say? It's the best, and you're the best, meaning those of you who've done this. Something else that is the main occasion for this mini oration here, a listener has put together a number of very compact PDF files with some of the great anti-fascist books that I have used over the years that have helped to teach me about fascism's history and methodology. And now a growing number of those books are available on the Spitfire website. Now that more than 50 years has passed and the copyrights have gone the way of all flesh, a lot of these books are back in the public domain, so to speak. And these are books that most people don't even know about. We have had, with the permission of the Manning family, the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, available for some time. Now, that is now in a much more compact file. We also have books like The Nazis Go Underground by Kurt Rees, All Honorable Men by Paul Manning. We have Germany's Master Plan by Borken and Welch. We have Cairo to Damascus by John Roy Carlson, an immediate post-World War II book by the author of Undercover that talks about the Nazi-Arab connection and foresees terrible trouble in that part of the world. There's actually an interview with Hassan al-Banna in that book, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. We've got the book Army of Spies by Joseph Gollum about the Fifth Column movement in the United States, or basically about the Nazis' use of Fifth Column movements around the world. And there are more of those books to come. Maybe another half dozen or so books will be available on the Spitfire website. And I am taking this time not only to thank those listeners, but to encourage people out there to take the bit in their mouths and run with it. Particularly when people hear me talk about September 11th, and when I talk about an underground Reich Fifth Column in this country, that's not a reference that will mean much for an awful lot of people. But when you study some of these old anti-fascist books, that will make you aware of what a Fifth Column is, and the traditional historical use by fascist elements, Nazi Germany in particular, of Fifth Column movements. Also, some of the political and economic and geopolitical foundations for what I call the Underground Reich can be understood reading from the actual source material. So, this is to say that now the Spitfire network of websites has become an incomparable research resource. And I think it's incumbent on listeners, I think, if at the risk of seeming a trifle weird or corny, that karma attaches to one's willingness to use this website to assimilate the information and to disseminate it to others. Nothing less than the fate of humanity and civilization itself depends on the successful resolution of these conflicts and events, and there is nothing that anybody could do to participate in that essential effort than to access the information on the Spitfire website. So please do that, and in particular, with the addition of some of these great old anti-fascist books, with more to come, the Spitfire website, a Spitfire network of websites, counting the websites put together by listeners in the Midwest, WFMU, etc., is an incomparable media resource. I think it's the single best information source available on this planet for this kind of information. And, well, a big, big, big grateful tip of the hat by me to those listeners who are continuing to do that. And since the holiday season's coming up, people might want to think about maybe downloading. By the way, you can download the new book files very easily with just a modem internet hookup. They're that compact and that easy to use. Something people might want to think about for the holiday season is downloading some of these books and having them inexpensively bound and making holiday gifts out of them. Obviously, the recipients would have to be sort of rarefied, and not everybody wants to get old anti-fascist books that are more than 50 years old, but this is a great resource. People should take advantage of it, and there's just one thought about one way that people could do that. Do be aware also that on the Spitfire website, there's a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. Okay? So please, reward the efforts of those listeners who have risen to the challenge and answered the call by using those websites. The Spitfire website, the Spitfire constellation of websites, it's a great resource. And now the addition of these great old anti-fascist books is just, well, it's I've already used whatever words I could use. It's gratifying and it's critically important. And as I said, I think karma attaches to one's willingness to utilize these resources. Enough said about that. Now, this program is going to be very similar in nature and overlapping the program that I did for the record 530 that I called Alpha Males, a pun on the Alpha Russian conglomerate. One hell of a conspiracy theory. This, too, is another hell of a conspiracy theory. And I think, once again, we are looking at a political and commercial network that, in turn, is the most visible element of an underground Reich element, the underground Reich network that overlaps the Bush family. By the way, I can appreciate that for newer listeners in particular, when you hear me talking about an underground Reich, you're saying, oh, my God, is that guy nuts? I can appreciate that now. People are in a position to educate themselves with, for example, the Martin Bormann Nazi in Exile text available, with books like The Nazis Go Underground by Kurt Rees and All Honorable Men by James Stewart Martin and some of the other books, Germany's Master Plan by Borken and Welch. People can educate themselves about this now, and it's not necessary to be content with my brief references to that. The documentation is there. It's available. And it's free, except for the cost of printing up the paper, folks, so please go for it. What we're going to be looking at in this broadcast is a series of relationships between a number of individuals. I'm going to sort of set the dramatis personae, so to speak, the cast of characters, and explain some of the relationships. Then we're going to launch into some of the texts. Many of the sources that I'm going to be using on this program are sources taken from internet translations, which if you have any experience with internet translations from foreign languages, they are less than completely adequate. You could get the gist of it, but I'm going to explain the relationships before I tackle some of this imperfect text. First of all, what we're going to be talking, the reason I call it the Florida-Argentine connection is because it is exactly that. The governor of Florida is, of course, Jeb Bush, the brother of the current seated president of the United States, and also one of the sons of the 41st president of the United States and former director of the CIA. Jeb Bush's former secretary of state, now in Congress, was a woman named Catherine Harris, who basically was instrumental in skewing the 2000 electoral vote. She has an assistant, a deputy, or she had when she was Secretary of State for Florida, a deputy Secretary of State. This is an Argentine national named Patricio Lombardi. Patricio Lombardi is an aide to the former vice president and labor minister of Argentina, a guy named Carlos Rucauf. You may notice that last name is not exactly Latino, indicative of the profound German-Argentine connections that we touched on in, among other programs, for the record 532, our conversation with John Loftus last week. Now, Patricio Lombardi is an Argentine. He's the former aide to Argentinian politician Carlos Rucauf, and he was appointed the very first Deputy Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs. Basically, Patricio Lombardi, an Argentine national, was appointed the deputy to Catherine Harris in Florida, and specifically in charge with developing relations between Florida and Latin America. One of the things that he did was to help cement a relationship between Buenos Aires province and Florida. We're going to take a look at that relationship because one of the things it talks about is setting up a program of cultural exchange and scholarships, which sounds very much like the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft and its related fellowship programs. The Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft was the vehicle for Mohammed Atta's entry into Germany and perhaps to the United States. We looked at that in 530, among other For the Record shows. It also has related fellowships. The Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft also has, as sort of subsidiary programs, the Alpha Fellowship, and the Bosch Foundation Fellowship. One of the beneficiaries of the Bosch Foundation Fellowship was John P. Schmitz, the son of ultra-right-wing California Congressman John G. Schmitz. John P. Schmitz has a lot of very interesting connections, former deputy counsel to the elder George Bush, both when he was vice president and when he was president. He now is a partner with the Mayer, Brown & Maw law firm, along with a number of interesting people, such as Richard Benveniste. That law firm is based in Germany and is handling a number of lawsuits related to September 11th. His brother, yet another son of John G. Schmitz, the ultra-right-wing congressman, is Joseph Schmitz, who was the Inspector General of the Pentagon. He then resigned under what normally would have been a cloud of scandal, but which barely dotted the horizon in this administration. He is now the head of the parent company for the Blackwater security firm. Note that John P. Schmitz, a beneficiary of the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship, former deputy counsel to the elder George Bush, is married to the sister of Jeb Bush's wife. Okay, so this is one large familial relationship. Now, the former aide to Carlos Rukauf, again, is Patricio Lombardi, named by the Jeb Bush administration in Florida as the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida for Latin American Affairs, even though he's an Argentine national. He also, that is to say, Patricio Lombardi, also has very strong connections to, among other institutions, the public relations firm of Greenberg Traurig, and also the Univision firm, or its parent firm, the Cisneros Group from Latin America. Univision is the largest single Spanish language television broadcaster. We're going to talk about that, and it apparently spews a steady diet of garbage to the Latino population of the United States. But Patricio Lombardi was very closely associated with the Cisneros Group, Gustavo Cisneros in Latin America, that in turn has connection to the Bush administration, and Gustavo Cisneros is implicated by some in the coup attempt in 2003 against Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. So this is a very, very complex group of people. It's going to branch out still further. Ultimately, Univision, directed by Italian-American Jerry Perenchio, is an interesting institution and individual in their own right. Jerry Perenchio, not someone from Latin America, is an individual who got his start in show business working for MCA and Jack Wasserman. In his book Dark Victory, Dan Moldea linked the rise of Ronald Reagan to organized crime-related elements in the Hollywood area. Jerry Perenchio is one of the top financial backers of Arnold Schwarzenegger. One of his other top financial backers is the American who is serving as a cat's paw for German capital in the DHL move into the American carrier market. We talked about that at great length in For the Record 492. So those are some of the characters. With Patricio Lombardi, the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida, an Argentine national, cementing relations between Latin America and Argentina in particular, and Florida. He, in turn, was an aide to Carlos Rukauf. Carlos Rukauf is charged by a German journalist with having helped to eliminate dissident workers at a Mercedes plant in Buenos Aires during the dirty wars of the 1970s and early 80s. He also was the vice president under Carlos Menem and was charged by Argentine Jews with having helped to cover up the AMIA bombing down there. And Patricio Lombardi, the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida, is his aide. So that is the rough cast of characters here. Hold on to your hat. Here we go. We're going to begin by taking, and by the way, the internet references will be on the description for the program, from the Argentinian newspaper Clarín from July 22nd of 2000, Ann Barron, the Washington correspondent. I'm going to do my best to paraphrase this because, again, these are some of these internet translations. With the objective of consolidating relations between Buenos Aires province with the outside world, Governor Carlos Rucauf will travel Monday to Florida, where he will be meeting with his colleague Jeb Bush. The encounter will take place in Tampa, where both will sign an agreement on harbor facilities. The Argentinian Patricio Lombardi said to Bugler, that's a columnist for the paper here, who now works Patricio Lombardi now works with Jeb Bush in all relations between the state of Florida and Latin America. And then after discussing the fact that Jeb Bush is George W. Bush's president and son of George H.W. Bush, and also mentioned that Jeb married a Mexican woman, again, Columba Bush's sister is married to John P. Schmitz. Continuing and skipping down, Florida is like a commercial partner in its interest to us, said the ex-Argentine ambassador to the U.S., Diego Guelar, who at the moment takes care of international relations for the Buenos Aires government. Quote, we have the same type of working relationship with the city of São Paulo in Brazil and Westphalia in Germany, he explained. So again, note this relationship not only with Florida, but with São Paulo in Brazil, one of Brazil's largest cities, and Westphalia in, surprise, surprise, Germany. Also, this anticipates that Bush and Rucauf will sign an agreement of cultural interchange and scholarships. Quote, one of my tasks in the government of Bush is to work with the Department of State to bring Latin American students to universities in Florida, said Lombardi. This sounds very much like the sort of relationship we looked at with the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft and its subsidiary programs, the Alpha Fellowship and the Robert Bosch Foundation Fellowship. That appears to be a way, basically, of networking and training younger operatives to do various things. Again, perhaps the most noted beneficiary of those programs, none other than Mohammed Atta, the leader of the 9/11 hijackers in Florida. More about Rucauf and his trip to Florida in 2000. Soon, Rucauf will go to Miami, where he will meet with industrialists and will attend a reception organized by the public relations company Greenberg Traurig. Now, Greenberg Traurig is the Jack Abramoff law firm, okay? Patricio Lombardi, Carlos Rucauf's former aide in Argentina, worked for Greenberg Traurig. Okay, and that is Jack Abramoff's law firm. Now, again, note that Patricio Lombardi, the aide, basically the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida for Latin American Relations, who was setting up those programs, he worked for Carlos Rucauf. And another internet reference here. In the case of the disappeared of Mercedes-Benz, a federal judge appointment to the ex-chancellor Carlos Rucauf. Basically, Carlos Rucauf has been subpoenaed to testify about the disappearance of some dissident workers in the Mercedes plant in Argentina. And a German journalist, Gabriela Weber, basically says that Carlos Rucauf, who again was brought to Florida by his former aide, Patricio Lombardi, now the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida, for Latin American relations. Carlos Rucauf was charged by Gabriela Weber with basically having overseen the disappearance of these dissident Mercedes plant workers in Argentina during the Dirty War. The subpoena was issued by the Federal Court of the Ciudad of La Plata, capital of the province of Buenos Aires, and sits next Wednesday for the testimony of the ex-minister and elected national deputy. The case concerns the destiny of 14 workers who worked in a plant of the Mercedes of the locality of Cuancanuelas, and from which they disappeared in 1976 after the coup d'etat that installed the military junta. The questioning was asked for in August through the Permanent Assembly of Human Rights to consider that Rucauf may have been responsible in this case after the promulgation of some dispositions that Rucauf signed in 1975 when he was Secretary of Labor of the national government. The connection of the ex-chancellor to the case from documents contributed to Argentine justice by German journalist Gabriela Weber, in which the automotive company recognized, quote, the effort of the Secretary of Labor to eliminate subversive elements in the factories. Carlos Rukauf, again brought by Catherine Harris's deputy, Patricio Lombardi, to Florida. He basically was a member of the Argentine junta. He'd been the Secretary of Labor under Isabel Perón, worked with the Argentine junta allegedly to get rid of dissident Mercedes workers during the Dirty War. He then became the Vice President of Argentina under Carlos Menem. Continuing. One of those texts indicates that Rukauf pleaded for the repression of these people when he occupied the labor portfolio in the cabinet that was overthrown by the military coup, and at times when the Mercedes plant was the center of a conflict that derived from the dismissal of 115 striking workers. In the last decade, Rukauf has been vice president of the country in the government of ex-chief executive Carlos Menem. He has also been governor of the province of Buenos Aires, the most important province in Argentina, and chancellor until last May in the administration of ex-president Eduardo Duhalde. Now, again, his deputy is Patricio Lombardi, now a deputy of Jeb Bush, Catherine Harris, in Florida. More about Carlos Rukauf's alleged role in the disappearance of Mercedes workers. This again, and I'll have all of the website representations or annotations in the description. This is from December 29th of 2003, from Mercedes-Benz to the AMIA. It's by Felipe Yapur. In the judicial process, it's understood that this agreement served as the precedent for the persecution and later disappearance of employees at Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz wanted to support the effort of the ministry to eliminate subversive elements in its factories, basically. And again, Patricio Lombardi's superior allegedly accomplished that. In various programs in the past, we've talked about the profound connections between not only the AMIA bombing and the milieu of Mansour el-Kassar, but also the AMIA bombing in September 11th, and evidentiary tributaries linking September 11th, the first World Trade Center attack, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the AMIA bombing. We've talked about that in many programs, most recently, For the Record 457. Jewish residents of Argentina are charging Carlos Rukauf with basically having helped to cover up the AMIA bombing by apologizing to the Iranian government, which had placed a large bribe at the disposal of Carlos Menem. This is from the Jerusalem Report of August 11th of 2003, Dateline Buenos Aires. Jewish leaders plan to file a legal complaint against former Foreign Minister Carlos Rukauf, who last year apologized to the Iranian government for an Argentinian judge's decision to issue international warrants against four Iranian ministers and diplomats accused of masterminding the July 18, 1994 bombing of the AMIA Jewish Center, in which 85 people died. Again, we're touching a lot of bases here. The AMIA bombing basically had its genesis, according to many, in the Tri-Corners area, where Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay all meet. That, in turn, is an area of intersection between so-called neo-Nazi elements, the Old Guard from the Underground Reich, and Islamist terrorists, not only Sunni Al-Qaeda-linked types from the Muslim Brotherhood, but also Shia, Iranian-backed Hezbollah terrorists as well, forging all of these into a fascist milieu. And so, again, Carlos Rukauf's deputy, Patricio Lombardi, now is the Deputy Secretary of State for Florida for Latin American Affairs. And we'll be going into the many links of this particular spider's web inside two of the program. Again, don't fail to exercise the advisory I gave you at the beginning of this side for much of it. Use the Spitfire website. Use the resources there. Use them to flesh out your own understanding and communicate to others. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 533, the Florida-Argentine Connection, another hell of a conspiracy theory. This is being recorded on November 13th of 2005. My name's Dave Emery. We'll talk again in Side 2. Thanks for listening.